It's time for the Financial Cafe, airing every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. on 88.7 WSIE The Sound. Today's show is underwritten by The Chef Shop, your hometown kitchen accessory store, where a good cup of coffee starts every day right. The views expressed on the Financial Cafe are those of the hosts and do not represent the views of Southern Illinois University Edwardsville, the SIU Board of Trustees, or WSIE Radio. Securities offered through Nickel Investors Corporation at No. 1 Executive Park, Granite City, Illinois, member FINRA and SIPC.
If I had $1 million.
If I had $1 million.
If I had $1 million.
I'd be rich.
And now, welcome to the Financial Cafe and our hosts, Larry Lexo and John Graney.
Good morning, John Graney.
Good morning, Larry Alexo. How are we doing today?
Another lovely but cold Saturday morning here in Edwardsville.
Could you park any farther from?
Well, it appeared this morning to me needs your exercise, so I figured I'd park as far away.
It was that box of donuts
away.
I had in my hands.
It did have something.
Oh, we got to work these off. We're going to park as far away as possible.
It did have something to do with that box of donuts you brought in with you, but we won't go there.
Honey, they were all sugar-free. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, that's what he keeps saying.
They were good.
They were good. Yep. We got one at least one of those down. I noticed Daryl wasn't shy about it either. So, you know.
No, he kept staring it.
That's the way it works.
So what are we doing today? There's someone else in our room.
Who is here today, John?
Yes, yes, we finally brought in one of the owners from The Chef Shop, and I want to personally thank The Chef Shop for sponsoring this crazy show, being associated with us when no one else will.
Yeah, now they're going to really know what we do for a living.
Good morning, John and Larry.
Nancy Snyder, good morning. Thanks for coming. And I have to say that Scott, your husband, is a MassCom grad.
Yes,
and he was out here, I guess, a little after I was back in, well, we won't say
everyone
when,
was
a long time. Hey, watch it. A long time ago. But we are very fortunate and appreciate the underwriting that Chef Shop has provided us for, gosh, darn near going on 9 months now, if you can believe that or not.
They haven't figured us out yet.
They haven't yet, but it's been fun. We went through all of the 18. How many coffees do you have now? I think we went through 18 or 19 different ones.
It depends on the season. We bring in extra ones during the holidays, but yeah, that sounds about right, about 20 flavors probably.
Well, we have had all of them at once and many of them twice, as we continue to do, so that's a great opportunity to do that.
My absolute favorite coffee is the Highlander Grog.
Yeah, you would. I knew that. See, and you like the 89er.
But, I like the 89er if I'm going to go flavor after a nice dinner or whatever. That's a great one.
Yeah.
But for my morning time to get up, slap me in the face, and get me going, the Highlander Grog.
All right. Well, is that what we have this morning, John? Or
no.
No? Okay.
I have to get some more.
So we'll be out there right after the show, Nancy.
As I'm saying, I know where you can find some.
Yeah. We'll get out
and
there.
And some fudge to go with the donuts we had for breakfast.
What about the popcorn, though? Popcorn can't be beat, so.
Yeah, you know what? I think that's what we should do is our next sampling.
I think we will. There's, 80 some odd brands of different types?
There's always over 70 flavors.
70?
That's a little presumptuous that they're going to keep us around that long.
Well, that's only a year and 3 months worth of shows. So, hey, you know, we're up for it. How about you, Nance?
Sounds great.
All right, we're good. We got that recorded, so we'll take care of that.
Yeah, that's on the record.
Yeah, we got it.
Good work, Larry.
On to the Market Watch. What's in the market, John?
In the market. Well, what I wanted to talk about was over the weekend, we have a Twitter-in-chief, commander-in-chief, but Trump is going to have to learn that his tweeting, whatever it's called, it shows you how old I am, has a dramatic impact on the market. I mean, the market's already emotional to begin with. We have talked about that in previous shows, but Trump came out with his immigration ban over the weekend, and granted, it was poorly, poorly implemented. There was mass confusion at airports, people being held up, and we don't know what the rule is, we don't know what we're supposed to do, and created a bit of chaos. Of course, certain factions played it up even more, and the first couple days of this week, the market took a nosedive. Now, granted, as we talked about late last year, the market run-up because Trump was elected president was a, a bit sketchy, and I was not a big fan of that because I don't like emotions. I'd rather have markets react based on fundamentals and actual quantifying data. But this is what we're going to be in for this year, folks. We are going to be in for quite the emotional roller coaster ride. And I want everyone to keep in mind that, hey, we need to stay focused on what really does drive the market. We will have these emotional swings, but they will come back to the norm or come back to the averages. So before we kind of get into earnings season and how the earnings season is going, that's some stuff we should really be paying attention to with regards to the market. What was this immigration ban and why did it cause so much problem? Folks, at the end of the day, it's a 90-day ban. It's a very minor, temporary, but well, it's not minor for those people that got caught up in it. But from a stock market reaction the way that we had, that it was absolutely crazy because it's only a 90-day ban. It was just a kind of, let's catch our breath, let's see what we're doing. It really should not have had the impact that it had on market performance. And I, again, want to have everyone understand that this is what we're going to be in for this year. You're going to see a lot of these swings that you're going to need to really hold on. And hopefully after last month, you got your financial plan done, since that was our topic of the month, was getting financial planning done, that you will be able to handle these emotional swings. Looking at the earnings season, which, again, how are companies doing? And the small and mid-cap earnings were really good. They were really strong. The large cap seems to be a little bit more of a mixed bag, but as I went through the calendar and the companies and so forth, for the most part, it looks like everything has done fairly well. There have been a few hiccups, but as I go through some of these large cap names like Aetna, they surprised to almost 18 cents, their actual EPS versus the what Wall Street was saying. Affleck was off a little bit. Some of the petroleum company, going down. I missed Apple. What did it do?
Well, Apple actually has hit an 18-month high, hit a lot number of new price targets, and it is predicted, anyway, to increase again as earnings are announced. Apple shares were poised for a big jump, some analysts say, and it was trading at $128.66 U.S., down 0.05 of a percent. So it's hanging right around that 127, 128 mark. So Apple is not hurting, needless to say.
Yahoo beat, Chubb beat. I mean, so some big companies here are beating. I was actually reading an article that is kind of like a hedge fund manager had put all of his money and bet against Apple. And basically if he, because he had, you know, how many millions of dollars he was managing, that if Apple actually ended up coming out positive, he was going to lose it all. So I got to find that article. We'll talk about that one on the next show. That was kind of interesting. So at the end of the day, the information that we need to be watching when it comes to the stock market is not necessarily the tweets, if you will, because they're going to be rampant. Hopefully they'll get him under control, because that it's not worth it. And I don't know. I don't think the president should be tweeting like that anyway.
Tweeting so, about this and that and the other thing.
But, you know, we had the Fed. They held rates steady. That's important news.
Again, that's great for people who are borrowing money, not so good for people who are relying on CDs or interest rates for earnings.
Right. And they said that they expected to raise rates. And as we talked about a few shows ago, we did not see how they were going to get 3 rate increases in this year. I just don't see it happening. If Trump does go through with what he talked about for companies in favorable tax environment, corporate tax rates coming down, individual tax rates coming down, that will have a lag effect as far as investment returns in the stock market. We had a run-up based on the news, but it will take a little while for that to work through the system. So that's the type of information we should be focusing on. These emotional roller coaster ride that we're going to be on, you know, you just need to hold on and understand that it's going to be par for the course this year and the next 4 years maybe. But looking at earnings reports, more quantitative, you know, job report, the jobs numbers come out this week as well. So we have a lot of data that's going to be coming out to help us gauge how our economy is actually doing, not necessarily a tweet here and there. Anything else to add?
Yeah, I always thought of a tweet as something the Tweety Bird would put out there, but that's certainly not the case now, John.
Millennials have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, I know. It's a dated thing, but you like to go there anyway.
I remember Sylvester and Tweety Bird, but Tom and Jerry and all that, but I don't think are.
A lot of the listeners don't.
Yeah. Actually, some of those cartoons were so violent, they don't even play them anymore.
Yeah, well, that's true.
You know, we're so fragile.
By today's standard, we couldn't take it, seeing somebody blown up, especially a bird.
So that I think was the
managers, I think, today, when you look at the actual fund managers, we're not done yet.
Larry's coming on. Watch out.
Coming up. It's tangent coming up, John.
I have time to go make coffee.
The market managers are looking at this. The fundamentals are good. I think that's what we've been saying. The profit earnings ratios are a little high on U.S. stocks. They're a little down further in a more normal range for emerging growth and international global. But it's time, as we said last month, in terms of portfolio analysis, your financial plan to have a well-diversified asset-allocated portfolio, and then sticking with it, not to react to today's news or yesterday's news of the market, because we're going to see a lot of that. We're going to see a lot of ups and downs. And when you really get in and analyze what's going on, the number I heard, and of course everything on the internet is absolutely 100% accurate, so to speak, but there were less than 150 people impacted by the immigration order that was put in place last week versus, you know, what do we have, 350 million people in the U.S. So if detaining 150 people and determining that they were indeed eligible and legitimate, then that's a great thing. But if one were found not to be, it's a fair trade in my book. And
no pun intended.
It should, yeah, fair trade in my book, and it should have not had the impact on the market we saw. Although,
well, I mean, that's
certainly
the thing too.
Back.
I mean, if nothing was done, and then we did have an attack, you know, like they have in France and other parts of the world, then it would be, well, why didn't you do something about it?
It's a no-win situation. There certainly are a lot of areas in the government that I would want nothing to do with. In fact, I scratch my head on some of the individuals who have taken governmental positions. I guess it's just the next step, but you know, moving from 7-8-figure incomes to working for nothing, basically for the government.
And now all the headaches you got to deal with.
It's all a power thing, I guess. So you and I will just keep doing our radio show, John.
As long as they let us.
Yeah.
I'm looking at some more names here: Boeing, ExxonMobil. All these came out to the positive. So, you know, that's good news. And that's what we want to see is, and some of them are substantially beating the estimates. So I think, you know, in the long run, this year will be a good year for stocks, just because if Trump does implement those tax reductions and corporate tax rates and so forth, that is business friendly. Interest rates, even if they do raise them twice this year, are still going to be at historic lows. So borrowing is cheap. It bodes well for a good year in the stock market, barring a tweet and some nuclear thing happening or whatever. But you know, then we don't have to worry about money.
As always, yeah, that's the ongoing caveat is some idiot doing something out there. But yeah, the market looks strong. It looks like going forth, we're going to have some positives, certainly for small businesses, as we are here to talk about.
Oh, there's that segue. That is the experience radio broadcaster right there.
For Nancy, Small Business Month for us. We're talking about the depth of the U.S. economy. Small businesses account for the majority of jobs. When small businesses are doing well and expanding and growing, the economy does well, and we're starting to see some of that. We're seeing businesses we work with where we manage their retirement plans. They are having good years. They're making money. They're making contributions to the retirement plans. The employees are deferring more money. I had a call yesterday from a participant saying, you know, I'm doing 15% right now into my 401k. You know, think I should bump it up to 18? And the answer, of course, is obviously yes. You know, if you can afford it and it fits within your budget, then you put as much away as you can on a tax advantage basis, because currently he's in, you know, probably a 32% tax bracket plus 5% or close to 5% now happening in Illinois if legislation goes through. So you figure 40 cents on a dollar is going to taxes. Why not put that in your pocket?
But they do such wonderful things with our money.
Yeah, they do. Name one. Moving on.
I hear crickets.
Silence is golden. All right, so Small Business Month. Nancy, we're just so happy to have you join us. I know we tried to drag you in here over Thanksgiving and Christmas.
She came kicking and screaming,
that
folks.
That was our mistake. We should know better.
Yeah.
Probably that.
You don't have anything going on. Yeah. Come on the radio with us.
We're a little busy between Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Yeah, the biggest, 6 or 8 weeks of the year, probably. But, you know, we don't ask much. I mean, it was just an idea.
I felt slighted. I don't know about you.
Yeah, well, we got it here. It's 2017. It's a new year. Life's good. Tell us a little bit about the Chef Shop.
Well, the Chef Shop is it's located at 2320 Troy Road, which is in the Schnucks Plaza with the Schnucks Grocery Store. And we're two doors down from the Target store. So we're very easily found. We have an 8-foot chef standing out front to greet you when you come in the door. So
I've seen him.
We're easy to find.
It's a statue, folks.
Yes, it's a statue.
It is?
Yes. Oh. And the big sign out front that says Chef Shop is rarely noticed, but the one beside it that says popcorn, everybody notices.
It is good popcorn.
There's a Chef Shop sign? I'm just, you know, wondering.
I thought it was a popcorn store.
Yeah, well, that works too.
And fudge and coffee and candy.
So, and you've been there how many years?
We have, the Chef Shop this year is celebrating 20 years in business.
Wow.
So, Vicki Primrose started the shop 20 years ago this June, as when she opened, and she had the shop for 8.5 years, and then Scott and I have had it for 11 full years, so it'll be 11 and a half years by the time we have our celebration.
My wife worked there when Vicki owned it.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, Vicki will be our plans right now, and she has it on her calendar. She will be here for our celebration.
Oh, great.
Well, which will be Memorial Day weekend. So.
Oh, awesome. All right. We have to be there for that.
Awesome.
No question about that.
I think he just invited himself.
Yes, that's good. Great.
And okay. It worked. That's even better.
It's going to be a big celebration. So.
Oh, that'll be fun.
So we were at the other end of the plaza where the nail salon currently is, which mm-hmm. was a small space, about 1,200 square foot. And then 8 years ago, about eight and a half years ago, somewhere around there, 7.5, 8 years ago, we moved to our current location, which is at the other side of the plaza, which is right next to Maurice's and just 2 doors down from Target. Much bigger space. When we originally took it over, it was a 4,000 square foot space.
I want you to move the mic in a little bit.
Oh.
I tried to do it with signals, but, you know, I'm
not very
that,
good at hand signals.
That's okay. John doesn't get it either, but that's okay.
I don't have a mass common degree. Sorry. I thought you were bringing a plane in. I had no idea what was going on.
Here it comes.
Ready for landing.
If you could have seen our faces, Nancy and I are just looking across at Larry like, is he having a seizure? Yeah. What's going on here?
All right. We'll get there, John.
So anyway, when we moved to the space that we're currently at, we took over one space, which was 4,000 square foot. And then a couple years later, would be 5 years ago this May, we opened the popcorn shop by taking over the space next to us. So we're 6,500 square foot. So we're a decent size retail shop, and we have a kitchen. Basically, we're a kitchen store, but we also make our own fudge, and we obviously have over 70 flavors of popcorn.
The fudge is ridiculous. And I will say, my son's science fair project, we had to make fudge. We were measuring crystal formation using fudge. It did not come out anything like the fudge that you guys have. I wasn't even sure it was in the same food group.
Yeah, I kind of doubt it myself, actually.
Like, is it supposed to be like a brick?
You don't have to. It doesn't like melt in your mouth.
No, chunk it off, and it's kind of like
hard candy.
I think it was brittle.
So what grade did he get on his project?
He did well. He did very well. He got an A- on his science fair.
Oh, we'll see.
The crystal formation was great. Just the end product we did not partake in.
Yeah, I get it, but we know where you find some of it.
Some real good fudge.
So how many gadgets do you have in the shop, Nancy?
Oh, gosh, thousands.
You don't know that off the top of your
head?
Yeah,
thousands. It's a pretty good selection of gadgets.
That's my daughter's favorite store.
Yeah.
I think that is probably the understatement of the day. Because having been in there many, many, many times, if you see our credit card listing bonus, you know, what do you call that? Your super shopper rewards program.
Yeah, the rewards program.
Yeah, there's a lot on there. But we go in there, and anytime we talk about, whether it's my daughter or Diane, my wife, we talk about, well, what about this, or this person might like that, or a gift, or it's like, let's go to Chef Shop, because I know they'll have something that will fit the bill.
Usually, if you've got somebody you can't figure out what in the world to buy for them, there's something at the shop. Everybody loves to eat.
That is an understatement. No comment from you, John.
Beat me to it.
Yeah. One other thing I will say, with the location you have now, you certainly don't have to walk nearly as far as you do out here to come to the radio station.
That is true.
Being a little chilly, we had to de-thaw before we came into the station today, because it's really cold out there. And I tried to park, you know, as we said earlier, far away, but
you
know,
you
nevertheless.
You did.
I did. Okay.
I was going to call Uber to see if they give us a ride to the...
Yeah. We made it before they did, though. Oh, well. Next time. So what is the target market for your business?
That is the number one question right there. So, and basically we have like two businesses, you know, we have, or even three, because we're expanding our basket business, and that our target market there is more a business to business, giving gifts to your clients and your
co-workers,
employees, co-workers, so on and so forth. The kitchen store, our target market is, it is still predominantly female, although we have many, many male customers who are the head cook at their house.
That would be me.
And they love, men love gadgets.
Yes, you we know, do.
Yes, they do. So, and they like good tools. So they
got to have the tools.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, they like.
Break
they,
it till
they,
you make it, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, it does make a difference. If you're cooking with good pots and pans and you're using a good brand of knife to do the chopping and cutting, it's more fun in the kitchen. So that demographic is probably more to the 35 to 50 would be the majority of our of the people buying the most. Okay.
So how would you market to someone Larry's age?
Well, he's not generally buying for his kitchen. He's buying a gift for someone else.
Okay.
See?
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
That was perfect, Nancy.
I still feed in that demographic that you just talked about, so yeah. I can still use that joke, but a few more years.
Just wait.
But then, the popcorn shop has a completely different demographic, but it's much more difficult to pin down even than...
It's the world.
Yeah, exactly. It is. It's who doesn't like popcorn? You know, it's not the official snack of Illinois for no reason. Popcorn, everybody likes popcorn.
Well, and this weekend, I think there's some game on Sunday, isn't there?
Yeah.
Something? Yeah, and popcorn's probably a great dish to put out just for people.
Yes, it is.
To,
and if know, and kinda... if you're really rooting for one team or the other, we have popcorn for your teams that's colored in your team's colors.
Wow.
And, or, you know, you can just come in and get the beer popcorn. So
the beer popcorn.
Yeah.
All right. We're definitely going after we get done here, John.
Sounds good.
Yep.
I need some coffee.
Yeah. And beer popcorn. Right. Oh, what a way to go. When did you first, did you work, refresh my memory, since for some of us it's not as good as others.
Larry, you got to stop saying it. You make it too easy for me.
Led you into that one. Did you work in the shop with Vicki before you decided to buy it?
I did for a few months, but okay. By the time I went to work for Vicki, we had already come to a deal between us.
And how did that happen?
Well...
I mean, right. You were friends,
yes.
Right?
Well, sort of, yes. Yeah. I was a customer of hers. And so kind of in the right place at the right time. And I wanted to open a food-related business that the concept was completely different to this area. And I don't want to get into a lot of specifics on it. But funding for it was not going to be something that was going to happen just because it was not something that the people who you could get funding from would be interested in talking to you about, because they didn't know anything about it. Okay. So
a bank's only going to want to lend to you when you don't need the money anyway.
Yes, that's true. That is absolutely true. So, I just couldn't hardly let that go, and I kept going in and talking to Vicky about space and that sort of thing. And one day she leaned over across the counter at me and she says, "This business is for sale." And that's where it started, right there. So we just happened to be in the right place at the right time. And we loved Vicky and Joe. They are very sweet, dear people. In fact, there wouldn't be a chef shop if it weren't for them, for multiple reasons, because they started it and they got it over the hump of the first 5 years. So she had it 8.5.
It's a big step.
Then and beyond that, then she was my mentor for years after we bought the shop. Mm-hmm. If I had a question about something, she and Joe took Scott and I to our first market, because you've got to go to market to replenish mm-hmm. it. And they personally escorted us to market and showed us how to buy at market. So if it weren't for them, there wouldn't be a chef shop.
Was there any wine involved?
Of course there was.
Okay. I'm sorry, I had to go there.
having been beer, popcorn, wine.
Wine,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Having been friends with both Joe and Vicky, I just said, yeah, anyway.
Yep.
So I'm going to take a step back, as it is Small Business Month, because we're focusing on your shop, certainly, but I'm very interested in what the decision process was. Why was it that you wanted to get into a food-related business? I mean, I know Scott, you know, a graduate of SIU and Mass Comm, and he went down a related field, as I call it, as did I, but that's got nothing to do with food. So,
no,
what was your motivation?
Well, I grew up on a farm, and back whenever I was a child on the farm, there was such a thing as child labor. Mm-hmm. And so everyone who was a part of the family also worked on the farm. And my job was chief cook and bottle washer from the time I was like 10 years old. So that, I think, started me early on. I've been cooking since I was 10. And so I've always liked to cook, and just really enjoy the sharing of a meal with friends and family. It's such a social thing. And I really like that part of life in general. I think that's where the most of our giving and taking of information, and where children learn to be social is at a family meal table. And so that's where my base for liking to be around food, I think, comes from. And I just enjoy the food industry.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely challenging. I love to cook. My wife will tell you that I cook for an army, because we have one night designated during the week that is just leftovers, because there's always leftovers when I cook. But I agree completely that being around the table, some of the fondest memories and best laughs are, you have everyone together sitting around a table and over a meal and just enjoying each other's company.
It's a lost art, if you will, and I think, not to totally editorialize, but I will, because, you know, that's what I do.
Here comes a filibuster.
the fact that there's a lot of wisdom, a lot of truth, a lot of sharing that goes on across the dinner table, and we're missing that today. A lot of the families, of course, are not two-parent families, and they don't have the opportunity to learn from each other. And I think that's to their loss, to their disadvantage, because they're not being brought up with common sense, for one thing. I know my wife was talking to a class she had taught at SWCC, and she was doing some training for some CNAs that were working in some of the nursing homes in the area. And one of the RNs pulled her aside and said, you know, you have to be really basic talking to these folks, because they have no common sense. And she shared a story of being in one of the nursing homes and working with the CNAs, and they were having trouble plugging in a piece of medical equipment, and it wouldn't fit. And the one CNA said to the other, well, just take the ground off. You don't need it. And it's like, what? You know. Nevertheless, I won't say where that happened. But anyway, they have no common sense. You know, the very basic structure of life in dealing in inter relational activities in human, you know, kind of brings, you know, if you're familiar with Big Bang Theory, you know, Sheldon's kind of a good example of I think a lot of the kids today, they have no basic interpersonal skills. And that's something that is learned, I think, around the table, sharing food, sharing whether it's dessert or main meal or whatever it happens to be. And okay, I'm done now, John.
Oh, I thought maybe you were going to go on just a little bit further, because I don't know why you think they can't learn that when they've got their nose in a device.
A phone or tablet.
Or when they're sitting next yes. to each other and texting each other.
Yes.
And even on the national news last night, there was, and I'm sorry, I don't remember the state or the city. I must have been paying attention. But they were talking about the fact that adults were coming to pick up their kids from daycare. Well, daycare for parents who have to work is certainly a benefit to the kids. But the parents were picking up the kids, and the kids were running out trying to show their parents, you know, the picture they painted, the work they had done, the skill that they had learned. And the parents couldn't take their face out of their iPad or their iPhone and even talk to their own kids. And the sign the daycare was putting up is, put your phone down. You know, talk to your kids, listen to them, you know, let them share their experience, you know, their successes, their failures, you know, because failure is just one more step to closer to a success. And that's true. You know, you see people walking down the street and running into things and tripping off curbs and whatnot because they can't get their head out of their phone.
Makes for good blooper videos, though.
It does make wonderful blooper videos, John. Yeah, they are kind of funny, but as long as you're not the one doing it. But yeah, I think that we're missing that time. I know when I was growing up, I mean, every Sunday, you know, you had Sunday dinner. I mean, that was just a fact of life. Nobody questioned it. It was something you look forward to. You know, you get together and shared a meal, maybe shared some chores and some work outside and just had a good time. So that is a wonderful reason. And through the Chef Shop, you've found a way to help hopefully share that with your customers and help them to maybe understand that there is more to fixing a meal than just the food.
Absolutely. They come in with, we love being part of the community, and that when people will come into the shop and they'll have some project or some recipe or something they're wanting to do, and they know they need something, but they're not sure exactly what they need. So helping them solve that and find a solution for whatever it is that they're wanting to do with their meal creations is very, very rewarding for us.
So staying along that theme for a moment, so what caused you to want to become an entrepreneur at that point in life?
Well, over 40.
Huh? And I'm not suggesting anything, Nancy.
I was about ready to back away. I'm like, I'm not even stepping in that.
She's on your side of the table, John.
He said it.
I wondered why I was set at this corner.
That was out of reach.
Yeah. That was planned.
I think I had gotten to a point in my life where I wanted to be able to call my own shots, which I think is a reason that most people become entrepreneurs and start their own business. They want to be able to make their own rules, follow their own rules, set up their own regulations, and do things the way they think ought to be done. I often tell people, because when you're starting a new business, it's not so much that you own a business, but that the business owns you. And that's very true for new entrepreneurs in any field that you go into. If you're going to be successful, you have to devote yourself wholeheartedly to the business in order for it to succeed. Some people will tell you, if you're starting a business, that you should always have an exit plan, which I greatly disagree on, because if your business is going to succeed, the only way there should be out is through success. And it makes you work harder. If you have a plan for how to get out of it when you go into it, you're not going to succeed. And we still have everything that we own tied up into the business, and we still have no option but to succeed. So therefore, we're always doing our best at customer service and trying to bring new products in and finding new ways to reach the community so that they're always wanting to come back to us.
Well, the lesson is, I think, is I was very fortunate in the first half of my lifetime, my career, being put into a position with the company. Shut up, John. Being put in position with the company I was with to operate my own divisions, to hire my own people, to train them, to do support. So I was really an entrepreneur. I just didn't own the business. And when that came to light some years later, as the children of the owner grew up and took over the business, and I said, well, it's time to move on. At 40, as a matter of fact, I became an entrepreneur by buying out my brother's business, and failure was not an option. You know, as you and Scott have, we put every nickel, dime, and penny we had into the business and starved the first, you know, 3 or 4 years. And all of a sudden you have a little success and a little more, and you keep going. And eventually it's like, okay, this works pretty well. But a lot of the entrepreneurs that I talk to, they have no clue. And I think relating these types of stories, Nancy, that you are and you have, that you can be a success, but it is something you get into and you put 110% into it, and you don't stop until you're successful. And you keep going until the opportunity presents itself potentially to move on. And you just never know when that may or may not be down the road. And things happen for a reason. Like you said, timing is everything. Your timing happened when you were looking, but you didn't know what you were looking for. And exactly. Mine did too, because I was changing careers and I didn't know what I was looking for. And my brother, who had started the business some 25, 30 years earlier, over lunch said, well, why don't you buy my business? And, you know, it was like, okay, never thought about it, but let's talk. And again, that was many years ago. So an entrepreneur is someone who has both the responsibility, which many of them don't recognize, and the authority to make decisions, to form their future, to fail, because not everything you do is going to work the first time or every time, or some things never work. And you learn from them and you right. move on. You know,
you don't learn from your successes. You learn from your failures. Yeah,
absolutely. Failures are the best training ground ever. And you find...
Must be why I'm so smart.
It must be. I knew there was a reason, John. I just couldn't figure it out. So, you know, you have failures and you learn from them. And hopefully, if you're really smart, you don't make the same ones a second time.
That's what it is.
Yeah, that's the key to success.
Exactly. So, and at some point, it's no longer so much about you as it is about, we have over 30 people working for us. So it's not so much about us anymore. It's about the fact that we have 30 people who depend on us for a job. So that becomes a big weight to carry around on to whether or not you're making the right decisions.
Well, you have to take it seriously, and I do, as you do, and hopefully many business owners that we work with, they are very paternalistic or maternalistic with regard to their employees. And in fact, we had an opportunity come up recently to Nancy doesn't even know this, but my daughter just bought out an insurance agency located in Madison County to expand her business, signing the papers this last Monday. And it was from an individual who spent his year dedicating his life as an entrepreneur, built his business. It was time to retire, and he came to us and said, you want to buy my business? But one of the caveats, which we embraced wholeheartedly, was that if you buy it, I want my employees to stay. I want you to keep them. I want you to give them an opportunity to retire, because they've been with me some 20 plus years. And we were most happy to do that, because we did need the staff. They were both skilled, experienced, and knew the clients. And so we did. And she bought the business, and it's expanding. But he had the paternalistic approach that, you know, I'm not selling my business. I mean, this meant a lot to him, unless I can assure the continuation of what I've started, and that it will work for the employees that have supported and helped me be a success over the years. And that's the kind of attitude, I think, that we need to see in a lot more businesses, that your employees are not just a number, they're not just somebody that comes and goes, that they are part of the family, basically.
Exactly.
And the really good employees treat the business as if they were owners, make the decisions in that regard, and then allow the business to grow. And that's when you see huge success over the years. So,
absolutely. That's exactly when we refer to our employees as our Chef Shop family. We spend more time with them than we do our actual family. So therefore, they are our family. So and we care about them all in that same sense. And I think it's respective, I think.
And it shows. And, you know, when you go into shop, you're greeted immediately by multiple folks, you know, they want to help. They're happy to answer questions. They're happy to get you a free sampling of fudge. I don't always do that, but most of the time.
Yes, you do.
Okay, I do. And, you know, they're there as part of the family, as part of the business to satisfy the needs of those who come in and want to spend money and take care of their families. So it's a wonderful story and a wonderful business that you have built. So we started earlier a little bit talking about the millennials today, and you have a lot of millennials in the shop. Tell us about some of the challenges and some of the advantages that you've run into in working with the up-and-coming generation.
The great thing about working with the younger people is that it keeps you young. It forces you to rethink some of the things that you've thought, because I think it's a certain way doesn't mean it necessarily is, because, you know, I've got old-fashioned views, obviously. So I think it gives us a chance to constantly be reinventing ourselves by adding these people to our staff. In order for us to remain relevant as a retail store, we have to have those people, because those are also our future current and future customers. So if you can't relate to your customers, your up-and-coming customer base, a line of customers, then you can't continue to succeed. So we have recently promoted from within two of our college graduates who would fit right into the bottom end, I guess, of the millennial age group. And they are very much adding a lot of depth, more depth to our business, because they can give things a spin from where they're at in life. And it's not always about the fact that you're well above 50.
They get social media way better than we
yes,
do.
Yes, they do. In fact, one of those positions, that's exactly what her position is she's in charge of all of the social media, the website and all that, because she does understand it.
Makes a big difference. You have to know your audience, and whether we want to admit it or not, even in the business John and I are in, our audience is changing. The way the millennials invest is different than the way that the retirees or close to retirees will invest. And as business evolves, we have to evolve with that. One of our biggest challenges, I think, today is as advertised, is the robo-advisor. I don't know that that was even a word or a term more than 10 years ago.
I didn't have it in any of my finance classes.
It was not in any of my finance classes either, but a robo-advisor is the electronic device, if you will, or computer program that provides advice to an individual who wants to enter their own information in doing a financial plan. And I think it probably, in my opinion, is better than nothing. If you can do that to help manage finance, to help manage debt, to put money away, to do some projections, you know, especially for the millennials, when you're thinking 20, 30, maybe 40 years down the road, what should I be doing today? That's a good way of determining what that number might be. As I mentioned, the individual earlier participant going from 15 to 18%, if he continues that the next 25 or 30 years when he hits 65, he'll have enough money to retire. That's been proven time and time again. But the individual is doing 2% or 3%. They got a ways to go. And part of our job in working with participants in retirement plans is to educate and to help them understand that you have to put the money away. It's more important about how much money you put away than it is about how it's invested, actually, over the long haul, as long as you have a good asset allocation in your portfolio. So speaking of retirement plans, that was a good segue, wasn't it, John?
Was that a forced segue?
I'm getting there.
All right.
Speaking of retirement plans, what we find for a lot of businesses, because it's not uncommon when we work with business owners, that when we speak to them, as we are here today, Nancy, with you, that their retirement is their business. Businesses are not cheap to acquire. They're not cheap to operate. You have to invest a lot of not only your own time, sweat, and blood, but your money to keep them going, to speculate on, you know, what do you buy, what do you have on the shelf, what is the economy going to be doing. So, you know, you're investing for the future and you're investing in a business. That doesn't necessarily translate to the employees. So what we find for a lot of business owners, by putting in a basic retirement plan, the owner doesn't necessarily have to participate if they don't want to, but it gives the participant, you know, your 30 employees, as it were, an opportunity and education and the promotion of them getting started and putting money away for their future, whether it's in a form of an IRA, whether it's in a form of a simple retirement plan or 401k, whatever it happens to be. And it's also a method of rewarding them for a good year when you have one. We have many businesses that the employees participate. When the company's making money, they get a little more money put in their retirement plan. If the company isn't having such a good year, then maybe it's a little less, but it gives them an opportunity for doing that. But there are a number of tools out there. Barring any major changes in regulatory issues that the government's coming up with right now, we'll have to wait until they happen. But until they do, there are still many opportunities to allow those participants to save and to put money away on a tax advantage basis for the future.
That's a great segue for next show's.
Is it?
Topic of the week.
That's on the list for next show.
Yeah.
Different types of small business retirement plans.
You are clairvoyant.
I am on it, John.
You are on. You must have read the email I sent. So, yes, next week we will be talking about, in the topic of the week, how to set up a retirement plan for you and your employees. So we'll go through the different – well, probably what we'll do is I will pretend to be a potential client for Mr. Larry Lexow. And say, here is my business, here's what I have, what are my options? And then hopefully the listeners who are business owners can kind of put themselves in that shoe and say, okay, this plan makes more sense than that plan or whatever it may be, because there is more than one way to skin that cat.
There's a lot of opportunity, and the basic answer to what type of retirement plan should I put in is it depends. You know, what are you trying to achieve? Is the goal to put as much money away on a tax advantage basis as the owner can possibly do for themselves? We have a few plans that that's what they want to do. Is the goal to put as much money away only for the employees? I have a few plans that would like to do that. Or the majority are, you know, we want to take care of our employees. We want to put some money away for them, help them save toward their retirement, but also have an opportunity in a good year to put some money away for the owners, because I mean, we're the ones as owners taking the risk. The buck stops here. If the business doesn't succeed, you know, we're the one that is going to be impacted the greatest as opposed to the employees or participants. So there are all kinds of plans. Some are more expensive than others. But bottom line is it's putting money away. And if the taxes come down, that's great, because it does open up opportunities to put money away maybe more advantageously on an after tax basis. If rates get down below that 25-30% range, then maybe we'll do the calculation and determine if that makes sense or not. But that is certainly upcoming on the next show. So for those of you who have a business and you're thinking about a retirement plan, or you have one, you're not sure it's the right one, it's a great opportunity. We'll go through all of the different options, the pros and cons, and talk about what makes sense for you and for your employees.
Yes.
That was a segue, John.
Well said. I was supposed to pick up from there?
Yeah, pick up from there.
How much time do we have left for this show?
We have 12 minutes.
12 minutes. Well, that puts us into strange news stories indeed. This is where we ask you, the listener, to become a participant of the show, to become involved with the show. Larry will present a strange news story. I will present a strange news story. Then we ask you to go to our website, www.thefinancialcafe.us, and vote on which one you think was the strangest news story indeed. Again, that's www.thefinancialcafe.us. So, speaking of coffee, since we have the chef shop here, and I have made it very clear that I like coffee-flavored coffee. The Highlander Grog is my all-time favorite coffee, and I don't particularly go for the frou-frou stuff that Mr. Larry likes. And I read this story, and I have to admit, I was a little bit grossed out, actually. But there is, I'm going to not pronounce this correctly, but it's G-I-A-N-G, Guyang, is the Egg Coffee Lean Guyang coffee shop. And what they are doing to coffee should be illegal. They are taking that cup of really good coffee, just as it is, the way it should be kept, and they are adding a whole egg that's whisked in with butter and cheese. And I'm looking at this cup of coffee, the picture of this cup of coffee. No, no, this is wrong. This is wrong in every sense. But anyway, as they put it, 1946, this was invented. It's very rich. And they're saying that people are actually going for this, you know. So maybe this is a millennial thing that I'm not grasping along with social media. But could you see egg, cheese, and butter in your cup of coffee?
Not in this lifetime.
Okay, all right.
No, I'm not going there.
Not going to be on the menu, is it, Nancy?
No.
I like cheese. I love eggs, and I love coffee. Butter, yeah, I'm good with that. But you put them all together, no, there's not a chance.
The drink tasted too, someone said it tasted too eggy. Uh-huh. I don't know why you had a whole egg in your cup of coffee. I'm all for breakfast, you know, some eggs, some toast with butter. Maybe if I have a little bagel with an egg and some cheese and bacon on it or whatever. But my coffee is on the side. And, you know, I'm washing down all these other ingredients with the coffee. I don't want it in my coffee. So anyway, that was my strange news story because I thought that was really gross.
John, I got you top this week.
You might.
I got you top. There's no question about it.
You say that all the time.
There, I know. And it's always right. But that's besides the point. I love being an entrepreneur. I love being in this business. I love working with clients. Sometimes, as we talked earlier about clients not having any common sense, real story first. I was sitting in an office with two attorneys in the metro region who we have their retirement plan, and we were talking about them putting money away for their future retirement, and they're fairly successful attorneys, probably mid-20s to 30 years old. And they're like, well, you know, we are partners and, you know, we need to look at some business planning. One of the things we're considering is some key man insurance. You know, if one of them should unfortunately die, then money would be available to buy out their shares of the business for the other individual. Basic, you know, business planning that we do all the time. And they're like, you know, we've got this insurance policy, but it's a 10-year term and it's about up. So it's not going to be very cost effective to continue. So we probably ought to go ahead and get some insurance. You know, would you get us some quotes? And the individual I was working with, the agent at the time, and I sat there and said, sure, we'd be happy to do that. Gathered some basic information, and she went on to relate. She said, well, you know, the last time we did the paramed and the necessary medical questionnaire and whatnot related to getting our insurance, we didn't think about it. But the night before, we had a couple of cookies, and we're thinking, okay, you know, cookies are not necessarily too bad. And she goes, but they were marijuana cookies, and they and the next morning, they had the paramed draw blood, and they ran. Needless to say, it didn't come back favorable.
Well, if it was in Colorado, then that'd
no,
be okay.
It was not. They may have been in Colorado, but they came back here, and they were just sharing that they just, you know, it was not a big deal. They just, you know, had a couple of marijuana cookies the night before, and we suggested maybe they ought to pass on that the next time that they do their blood work. So, I don't know. I don't get it, John. But it was pretty much matter of fact to them. Yeah, we just had a couple of marijuana cookies before we went to the blood test. And I'm like, okay, don't do that. Now, to my story, that wasn't it. This is a story that came out of Australia.
Similar, you just felt compelled to share that story.
I had to share that story.
See, this is what I deal with, Nancy. I deal with the tangents.
I was hoping he wasn't suggesting we sell those at the chef shop.
Well, now that you
mentioned, you can have the marijuana cookies and fudge, and then have the munchie aisle that everyone will get after.
There you go.
That's a good business strategy.
What a business plan.
Repeat customers.
Nancy, you can use that. As soon as it's legal in Illinois, you can use
there
that.
There you go.
Not work. Far away.
Real life is sometimes funnier than fiction. I just couldn't believe sitting there and they had...
I wasn't sure where they were going with that story either.
Yeah, they didn't offer us any either, so I don't know what that was all about.
These are the challenges I have. I have to bring everything back to focus. Bring them back. Come on, Larry.
So we're over here. This is a story. It was on the internet, so it must be true. That there was some fuzzy thinking going on. Comes out of Australia. There's a lot of strange things come out of Australia. There was a drug dealer in Northern Australia who jacked up the price of their weed, and their customer who was buying the weed was very unhappy about the price increase that they had to pay to get their weed now. So they decided to call in the police and complain. So they called up an unidentified woman, called the police, and was complaining about the outrageous price hike that their drug dealer had given them for selling them weed.
And I guess it's not legal in Australia.
And it's not legal in Australia. she refused to reveal any further details of the information. They didn't get her number, unfortunately. She hung up when I think she finally figured out what she was doing. But not to be outdone, the Northern Territory Police, Fire and Emergency Services decided to take advantage of this. So on social media, they put out a story that anyone who was feeling that they were outrageously being ripped off by their drug dealer because of the price increases, that they should call to complain and they'd look into it for them. So I think that's the story of the day, John.
Did they catch any?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, great.
They caught a whole barrel full of those fish.
That's funny. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So does Larry usually show up with a theme?
Yeah.
I've always got a theme.
I always have to try and figure it out, but yeah, usually there's something. Today was marijuana.
Yeah.
Well, who knows what next show will bring, but...
Who knows? I don't even know until I get here, so that's half the fun of it. I can't believe it, 5 minutes or so left. So, Nancy, what's your advice to a potential small business owner, potential entrepreneur who's thinking about, entering this fine field?
I think anybody who wants to start, who thinks that that's where they should go, just do it. I mean, get out there. You can always start a business kind of on the side to begin with and see if it's got potential. And then you're never going to know unless you actually just get out there and do it. I mean, that's what we did. We went into it whole heart and soul and with everything that we had. And we've been successful at it. And I think that's my advice. If that's truly where your heart is, then go for it.
I'd say the first 20 years of my working years was working for other companies. And then the last five have been as a small business owner. And it's different. Your schedule can be a little more flexible, a little more accommodating. But at the same time, you're always doing something. You're always thinking about it or actually physically doing something. You know, Larry gets emails from me 1 or 2 in the morning if I'm working on something.
I don't answer them.
it's the nature of the beast. And as I tell my kids, if you find something that you truly love doing, it's not work.
That's true.
So
that is the goal. If you find a job that is not a job and you get up every day and you're ready to go, to make a difference in fulfilling whatever life's need you have, I think that is the ideal career. Because I tell new agents who ask me about getting into either the life insurance or investment or financial planning or third-party administration field, there's nothing I can tell you that is going to help you understand what it's going to take to do it and whether you're going to be a success or not. So my advice, as Nancy shared, is try it. Do it for 6 months.
Be like Mikey.
Try it. You'll like it. If after 6 months you have enjoyed some of what you've done, because there'll be a lot of it you don't enjoy, but if you've enjoyed some of it and you can see a future and a career, then go for it. Because there's no one preventing you from being a success except yourself. So that's the story I'm going with, John. We're about to the end here.
We got to give the information for Chef Shop.
Absolutely.
That's you.
That's me. Oh, that's my part. Well, Nancy's here. Chef Shop. We thank them again for being an underwriter for the show, WSIE 88.7 FM, The
and
Sound.
We're always looking for some additional underwriters. We have two new segments now. The show has moved out to an hour, and we would love to have a couple more sponsors for the other two segments. The Chef Shop sponsors the topic of the week, and I'm looking for something. I can't find it. But we would be looking for two more sponsors. It's very inexpensive. It's very affordable, and we will talk about you, your company, what you do, and let us know. You can reach us at
www.thefinancialcafe.us or jgraney@nickelfinancial.com, Larry Lexo or llexo@nickelfinancial.com. Thanks again, Nancy, for coming in. It's been fun. We hope to have you back. Maybe you can Greg Scott along next time.
That'd be great.
I know that would be a blast, too. Visit the Chef Shop. Maybe you'll see us out there today. Chef Shop at 2320 Troy Road in the Schnucks Plaza next to Target. Get some popcorn, get some fudge, get some coffee, have fun at the game on Sunday with all three, and we will be venturing out to talk to you soon. Larry Lexo, John Graney, and Nancy Snyder saying goodbye for today.
Goodbye. Have a good weekend.
You've been listening to The Financial Cafe, airing every Saturday at 9 a.m. on 88.7 WSIE The Sound. Today's show is underwritten by The Chef Shop in Edwardsville, your hometown kitchen accessory store, where a good cup of coffee starts every day right. Listeners are invited to send your questions regarding retirement, investments, or any other financial topic that may pique your interest. Send the questions to John at jgraney@nickelfinancial.com or to Larry at llexo@nickelfinancial.com. John and Larry will discuss those questions each week during their Q&A session. If you prefer, they will respond to you in private. Thanks for listening to The Financial Cafe on 88.7 WSIE The Sound.